This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we are going right at it in hour number three as we got Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk, to talk NFL as we head into week three. Already began last night with the Niners winning 30-12 against the Giants. Our Progressive guest line. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance at progressive.com. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing great.
Good. Last night, more of a takeaway for how good the Niners are, or more of a takeaway for the Giants and the things that were missing from that team?
I think it was more of the latter. I guess it's a little of both, but more of the latter, the talent gap. And it feels a lot like last year's Giants team, that when they play a team like the Cardinals, I to spot a team at 21-point lead and come back in the second half and win, they can do that against the Cardinal team. But you saw in the Cowboys, you saw in the 49ers, that there's just a big gap in that elite talent. And especially if you take Saquon Barkley and Andrew Thomas out of the Giants lineup, there just isn't enough there. And it felt like last night they played as conservatively as they could, and they hung around that first drive in the second half, made it a game there for a minute, but they just couldn't do that over and over again. And I just don't see how they can do that against any of the real elite teams in the league because of that big gap in the key positions, key talent, key spots.
How do you separate Brock Purdy from what he is doing and what he can do with the talent around him? I know they kind of go hand in hand, but how do you look at Brock Purdy individually and how he works with Shanahan's system without, hey, he throws it to a lot of talent that gets a lot of yards after the catch?
I thought last night that the thing that was most impressive was just handling the blitz, and they blitzed him a lot. They sent a lot of pressure his way, and he knew where to go with the ball, and he knows where to go and what to do. And you can chalk that up to being a system quarterback, but that's something that I think gets overly maligned, and it's especially in a Kyle Shanahan type system where you're looking for a guy who can do exactly that, deliver the ball in the right spot at the right time. And it was always something that made the Trey Lance pick a little bit of a head scratcher, because he never seemed like the type of quarterback who would thrive in that system. And Purdy's ceiling may not be that high, but they don't need a superstar there. They don't need someone who's going to go out and win games by himself. They're not asking that of him. And so I think that's the most crucial part of the game for him. Is he does have Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk when he's healthy, and George Kittle. And so why wouldn't you get the ball to those guys as quickly as possible? It just is a real fit of player and system. So let it ride.
All right, let's go to Chicago. There's been a lot of news about the Bears and Justin Fields' reaction to how he's playing and how the Bears' office is coaching. Where's the real drama there? Who's right? Who's wrong? I mean, it looks like it's all to blame, but does Fields have some box to stand on about the things that he can't control?
Yeah, I think the thing that Fields can stand on is that the divide between the idea of coaching a player into the system you have or coaching the system into the player you have. And I think they haven't done that enough in Chicago. I think they have a player whose skill set is not a traditional drop back passer, right? So you have a guy who can make great plays with his feet. You have a guy who can do things. And it's not dissimilar to what we've seen with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson over the years, where there's some push and pull between how you utilize a player's unique skills while also having him do the things that are absolutely necessary for success for an NFL quarterback. I think there's been far too much of the trying to fit Justin Fields into an offensive system, and far too little of how do we maximize what Justin Fields can do while continuing to work on those things. In the first two games of the season, you see it's just not working. He's not comfortable. He's not playing as himself. And I think that's what really came out this week. I think the idea of it being coaching, some of it is coaching, because that's just the way you coach quarterbacks. You tell them that, certain things and how to make certain reads and other things. But I do think that to make anything out of this season, they're going to have to let Justin be Justin. And how he does with that will be very telling. But I don't think you can make any kind of decision about Justin Fields in the long term if you continue trying to, you know, shoehorn him into something that's an imperfect fit.
I want to get your thoughts on thing I'm starting to see in this league, and maybe it's because we live in an overreaction society now where people can make quick judgments and let those judgments be known publicly. It feels like I'm hearing this stuff about Justin Fields. I'm hearing it about Kenny Pickett, guys who are barely in this league, and it's already, I don't know if this guy can play anymore. I don't think this guy can play in this league. We don't have very many people that can be legitimate starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Why is that when we love football, we've got enough camps around the country for every kid to go to and learn the position, but when we get to the, is it too complicated? Is it overcoaching? Is there too much on these guys' shoulders and only a few people can handle it? Why can't we find enough legitimate quarterbacks, and why are we so quick to go, yeah, Kenny Pickett, he doesn't even have 17 games under his belt, he already can't play?
I do think that it is certainly the rate of judgment is certainly fast. And I think some of that is just the financial nature of it, that if you have 3 years really to make a decision about a quarterback and whether you're going to pay them a first round quarterback, that then the clock starts so early that you can't wait. And it takes a coach with supreme confidence and supreme job security to do what Andy Reid did with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Mike Tomlin is the kind of coach who could have done that with Kenny Pickett, but you understood the move to Pickett over Mitch Trubisky last year, and by the end of the season, it started to work out. I do think there needs to be more patience. I do think that quarterbacks need more time to learn. I think, they talked all offseason about Zach Wilson getting time to learn behind Aaron Rodgers now that he's in his third season in the NFL. That should have been the case in his first season. He should never have been starting in week one. That's probably the case for Bryce Young. That's probably the case for Anthony Richardson and C.J. Stroud. They would all benefit from that. But when you have coaches that are coaching for their livelihood, they can't sit there and wait and say, it's going to be better in year three for this guy to rest right now, when there's a pretty good chance you won't be the coach if you keep losing with the guys that you have. So there's so many conflicting priorities going on, and it all comes down to how fast coaches get judged, how fast players get judged, and then how quickly you have to make these contract decisions. It's a perfect storm that it is not good for quarterback development, and it is not ideal for a young quarterback who needs time to adjust, if you're Justin Fields or really any of them.
Yeah, and again, not to pick on the skill level. I mean, Baker Mayfield might work for Tampa, he might not. But you can't deny the fact that this guy was the number one pick in the draft 5 years ago, and he's on his fourth NFL team.
And he's won a playoff game. And,
right.
And he's done things that a lot of, that Justin Herbert has not done and has gotten a huge contract. Now, I'm not arguing that Justin Herbert isn't a very good NFL quarterback, because clearly he is, but it takes all different stripes to win in this league. And you see it when Jimmy Garoppolo takes the team to the Super Bowl 1 year and, gets benched after taking a team to the NFC Championship game in favor of Trey Lance. It is a league that is constantly looking. Everyone's always looking for something better. Unless you have one of the, six, eight quarterbacks that are at the very top, everyone's always, the grass is always greener with someone else. And there are times where it feels like you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
The Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, they are now 0-2. They started 0-2 last year, but things were fine. But are they in a little danger zone with this calf injury? Does he need rest? Is he going to play at 80% or whatever it is? And if it's so, are they going to be in trouble early this part of the season, where they can't make it up in terms of getting a home playoff game or whatnot?
It certainly feels that way. They were 0-2 last year, so it is definitely tempting to say, give it time and let it work out. But if he's not going to be 100% and you give him 3 weeks, a month to get to that point, I don't know that they can win with Jake Browning as their quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're a team that's set up that way. They certainly have great talent all over the field, but Burrow is such a big part of what they've done and what they plan to do that it feels more dangerous than being 0-2 last year, certainly. And it does feel like something, though, that if Burrow is not 100%, to keep playing him and see him the way he looked at the end of last game, and he didn't play all that badly against the Ravens in the second half of that loss, but to see him limping the way that he is and have that be an entire year, and, you know, God forbid some other injury develops because you keep putting him out there and leave him out even longer with an even more serious rehab, I think at some point you have to look at that big picture and say, is it worth punting for a couple of weeks in order to make sure he's as right as can be and try and sneak in the back door of the playoffs, and anything can happen at that point.
Josh, always love talking to you, my friend. Enjoy your weekend. Appreciate it as always.
All right. Have a great one.
You got it. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk on a Progressive guest line. And I think he's that larger quarterback question. I feel like I'm going to ask this a lot this season, and to get different people that we have on their take on it. You know, Emory Hunt is another one that's a guy that really dives into the film. Josh dives into that film where you really seeing the intricacies of the position. And I think he hit on something that is really important in the discussion of development of quarterbacks. Is it the coaches that don't have enough job security to warrant being patient? Tomlin has the job security. I think he's 100% right.
Yeah, Andy Reid had the job security.
Right, Andy Reid. Like he mentioned Patrick Mahomes. We've talked about it before. Patrick Mahomes' story is incredible. It couldn't happen anywhere else but a team that had a secure head coach that was confident, like, Alex Smith is just not enough. Let's take our shot with somebody else we really believe in. And that was a playoff team with Alex Smith. And they gave the reins to Patrick Mahomes, who people criticized when they moved up to get him. And they didn't care about the noise. They didn't care about the success that Smith was having getting him into the postseason. They knew it wasn't enough, and they rolled the dice and won.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we are continuing along on Sports Map Radio. We're going to get into the schedules. This is where we give you the value of the weekend. What games are worthy of your time? What games are not worthy of your time? I have to say, we had a just quick conversation on the air, off the air, about this situation with quarterbacks. And it really is, just like Josh Alper said, it is so much of it is the insecurity of the coaches. And they cannot wait any longer for a draft pick, a high draft pick, to be successful. They have to be successful immediately. And the way it's structured, where you are like, hey, I got 5 years to figure out if I want to give you $50 million and $200+ million guaranteed. And so we might as well figure that out. That's, to be honest with you, where Daniel Jones was. Remember, Daniel Jones was getting close to that end of that 5-year contract. And then they finally were like, yeah, we're gonna do it. We're going to keep you. Right? But he's right. Jimmy Garoppolo takes a team to a Super Bowl, but he's not quite Patrick Mahomes, so he gets benched for Trey Lance. Right? Like, that's the way we are in this league. And it's funny because, again, it's like, I watched Monday night and I just knew, I'm like, I don't think Kenny Pickett is ever going to be a star in this league. Now, that's way too premature.
Yeah.
Way too premature.
The guy doesn't
even have 17 games under his belt.
Not only that, Tony, but you're not allowing him his second year, the sophomore slump.
Right, I can't even do that.
Because every quarterback has a sophomore slump.
Yep, exactly.
But now they're not allowed to have that anymore.
Nope, and now you better be good right away.
You know what, I think I want to blame Brady and Belichick for this. I really do, because I think what everyone is chasing now is that coach-quarterback combo that's going to lead you for 20 years.
That's right.
And if you don't, and if it's not there, move on to the next.
But in all seriousness, you've got like Matt Eberflus is probably thinking, I ain't long for this if I don't turn this around. And I got a quarterback that's not turning it around. Oh, and you just got panic all over the place. Everywhere you look is panic of guys who thinking they're not going to be there next year, getting fired, getting benched. It's not only that, but
he might be a bad example because it feels like everything is crumbling.
I know, everything. That is, it's a complete disaster there.
Yeah.
Complete disaster there. And it's just, that's where we are. But like I told Josh, it's like, no, I don't think Baker Mayfield is Justin Herbert, right? Like he said, but here, like the Browns, he should still be on the Browns growing and maturing and playing to a level, like learning. That's Bradshaw was terrible right out of college. but you work.
These are Peyton Manning set the record, rookie record for interceptions.
But now it's like, nope, not the guy. How do you know? Just know.
Yeah.
That's it. And Baker Mayfield, again, the number one pick in 2018, the number one overall pick. Controversial, I know, because it was kind of a surprise. But still, a guy that is on his fourth NFL team. And here's the deal. Unless he gets the Buccaneers like 10 wins and a playoff appearance and a win, the Buccaneers are currently looking for their next quarterback.
Yes.
They're looking at their future going 2 years from now. Are we going to draft? Where are we going to be in the draft? And who are we going to get? And where are we going? It probably is unlikely to be him.
We're going to wait for Arch.
Yeah. All right, let's get rolling on the we're going to wait for Arch. That's great. Wait for Arch.
I wonder how many teams are going to start doing
that. There was suck for luck. Is there going to be a watch for Arch or something?
Yeah. Well, come up with something.
Come up with something. All right, let's get started on our preview, the crazy NFL Week 3. The Cleveland Browns are home after losing on Monday Night Football to the Steelers, and not only losing on Monday Night Football to the Steelers, but they lose Nick Chubb for the season. Deshaun Watson is going to have to step up now. He's going to have to be the man that they paying him to be the man who's going up against the Tennessee Titans. Both teams 1-1.
Real quick, and that's another one too. I saw an article today saying, is he... do we have to keep an eye on Watson? Does he have the old stuff left?
Is he done as a legitimate starter in the NFL?
Like, I didn't think he looked terrible the last two games. Yeah,
these hot take people, man. These hot articles, hot bloggers, hot take shows. That's all they want to do.
Yeah.
They don't care if they believe it or not. They just make sure you are
The minute you lose a game, yeah.
That's right. So the Tennessee Titans at 1-1 coming off that overtime win against the Chargers, and the Browns also 1-1, but no Nick Chubb. Look, I'm going to make this point about these teams. You may agree or disagree, but both of these teams have playoff hopes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a loaded AFC, but both of these teams are like, look, there are circumstances in which we can make the playoffs. If you're Cleveland, you may go, hey, let's take advantage of Cincinnati not being that good. And maybe Joe Burrow's hurt. And if they, like Josh said, if they keep using him and they keep losing games, maybe they're a little further back. Tennessee is like, hey, right now we're tied with Jacksonville. And Jacksonville hasn't really popped yet. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but let's get a win under our belt. So it's important. These are the kind of games that are important.
They are.
Like, you could see this game being a factor in determining the final wild card spot, for example. Maybe.
This game may have implications in week 18.
That's right. The Atlanta Falcons are in Detroit to play the Lions. Lions are 1-1. They lost at home to Seattle. Atlanta is 2-0, baby.
Last year, this game, I mean, we would be dogging it left and right.
That's right.
The only thing we would say is like, hey, man, Dan Campbell, he's kind of fun.
He's kind of fun.
But this game now, oh, man, it's become a must-watch.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
Desmond Ritter's not bad. He's working with Arthur Smith's system. The Falcons got Bijan Robinson,
rookie
who I'm in love
year.
With, and he's great. Rookie of the year. He's fantastic.
We're just kind of giving it that title to him until, before it falls off.
David Montgomery's got a thigh injury. He's unlikely to play on for Detroit. Jahmyr Gibbs is now going to be the feature back if that's the case. That's all I got.
No, I think this is a fun game.
Yeah.
I really do.
If Atlanta goes to 3-0, we should get our D. Orlando Ledbetter on pretty soon.
Yes, we should.
Our boy in Atlanta who loves himself being on this show.
Who will immediately say, see, I told you it was going to be
this. I told you, Tony D. I told you the Atlanta Falcons were going to be good. He is awesome. He's such a good friend of the program. I love him to death.
If he wasn't, he makes you feel like he is.
That's the great point. We make that point every time he comes on the show. We say no matter what circumstance we bring him on for, he makes us feel better about the day.
Yes.
He's very uplifting. We always talk about him. We've been doing it with him for 5 years.
At least. Not longer.
Always a good dude. So we may have to talk to him if Atlanta goes to 3-0. Speaking of another team in the NFC South that's 2-0, how about the New Orleans Saints? By the way, defense for the Saints is really good.
Yeah.
Did you know they have not allowed more than 20 points going back to last season in the last 8 games?
Why? How are they flying under the radar?
I don't know.
We'll talk about the Cowboys. We talk about the Niners defense. We'll talk about all these other teams. And then there's the Saints. And, it's like it was Monday night. I heard Joe Buck said, this defense is really good.
Really good.
And it's like, yeah, you know what? And extremely underrated. It wasn't Joe Buck. It was the other crew.
The other crew. But they're very, very good defense. Very good defense. Now, here's the flip side of that. Green Bay. Green Bay's 1-1. Jordan Love has 6 touchdown passes this season. He's actually got a pretty good quarterback rating, but he has only completed 56% of his passes. That's not that good. In the fourth quarter in the game against Atlanta, he was actually terrible, really terrible. So basically, when the game was on the line, failed to come through. Now, here's another little interesting tidbit. Remember last year? This was the game that had to be played in Jacksonville. Do you remember? They had that hurricane in New Orleans, and they moved it to Jacksonville, and the Saints slaughtered Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So much so that Jordan Love saw playing time in this game, getting Rodgers out of a game they were losing badly. That is a little tidbit into the Saints and Packers. But, you know, so Jordan Love... Not a bad start to his season. He's got to complete some few more passes. But Christian Watson has been questionable. Aaron Jones has been questionable. Both guys have hamstring injuries. Their offensive line is a bit beat up. That defense for the Saints is real. And by the way, who's the quarterback for the Saints again? Oh, yeah, that's right. A guy I don't care about, Derek Carr.
Yeah,
sorry.
I forgot.
Stop giving me fluff pieces on Derek Carr.
Do you think the Jets?
Enough with that.
Do you think the Jets reached out to the Saints at all?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, exactly. You know,
We wanted Derek all along.
We had first dibs on him, if you don't remember. Yeah, exactly. He can win a Super Bowl here.
You know, New Orleans. He wanted New York more.
That's right. That's
he
right.
did. He preferred us.
He did. Yeah, and, make that phone call.
We made a mistake, but now we're here to fix it.
I'm sorry. I'm getting tired of these sit-downs with Derek Carr where he's like, always a Raider, once a Raider, always a Raider. They've got my heart, but now I'm in New Orleans, and it's a different time for me. Have we cared about Derek Carr this much?
No, and I still believe he wears eyeshadow.
He probably does. Nothing against him, but he never was an important enough quarterback to warrant this move being one of the more monumental things in league history. Isn't Brady going to the Buccaneers for crying out.
No, I mean, you put it, you know, it's... It almost feels like they did 1A, 1B. 1A being Rodgers to the Jets and 1B being Carr to the Saints.
Yeah, like they were similar stories.
Where literally Carr to the Saints is more like Garoppolo to the Raiders.
Exactly. All right, we got to get to more games when we come back, including Denver at Miami and where Houston is going and all of that. Coming up next, it's a wake-up call on Sports Map Radio.
Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I guess we got to hustle because we only did a few games. We only did 3 last segment. I can get on these tangents, man.
Just enjoying a Friday.
I got to roll along.
Well, it's not our fault. We didn't start the segment off the right way.
Right. Let's get back to rolling with the schedules. We haven't even gotten through the early afternoon games. Let's go to Denver. They're going to Miami to take on the Dolphins. And yes, they're going to get the sunny side of Hard Rock Stadium. A little bit more heat and humidity for the Broncos.
And I think it's expected to be that way this weekend.
Yeah. They are going from mile high to sea level, facing the Miami Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium, and the Dolphins are fun. Tua Tagovailoa is the early NFL leader, and the Denver defense stinks. It's terrible. I think the Dolphins are going to rip them to pieces, but you never know. It's the NFL. Who different? But I think that you feast on a... Denver defense, it's got some injuries and nobody covering anybody. Although Tyreek Hill against Patrick Surtain might be interesting. That's all I can sell you on this game. I'm sorry.
No, I think it'll be completely one sided. It'll have the same look and feel as yesterday's game.
That's right. That is
last
correct.
Night's. So
Chargers at Minnesota, 0-2 Chargers. What versus, is the percentage
versus,
of teams
versus?
0-2 Minnesota.
Yeah, this
I'm
game.
I'm not worried about them.
No, I think this game is a make or break game for both
I
teams.
I think it completely. Listen, you can still make the playoffs at 0-2.
Yes.
0-3, you are seriously playing with fire.
You are looking way uphill because
you can overcome it, but.
You got to assume you're going to lose at least 3 or 4 more games throughout the season.
That's right. Hey, be thankful Kansas City isn't running away at 2-0, 3-0, you know, like that kind of thing, but still.
No, this game is. Whichever team, unless it ends in a tie, which I wouldn't put past Brandon Staley to say, let's play for the tie.
Why not?
You didn't do that last time. Why? But I think this is a huge game for both of these guys. It really is.
Very much
so.
It's
almost, it might have that playoff atmosphere feel to it because, like you just said, 0-3, that is a huge mountain to climb.
It is a big drop-off between getting to the playoffs at 0-2 and getting to the playoffs at 0-3 percentage-wise. And by the time, if you get to 0-4, forget it. And the only way you can get to 0-4 is if you go 0-3. So one of these teams is facing the danger zone next week.
Yes.
Really danger zone next week. If it doesn't end in a tie. How about the Patriots and the Jets? All right, here's a little cool bit of trivia for this one. The Patriots are 0-2 for the first time in 2001. What happened in 2001, kids? Does anybody want to raise your hand? Raise your hand if you know.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
I got you. That's right. Mo Lewis, boom! Bledsoe, ugh! Coughing up blood, and the rest is history.
And then some six-rounder.
That's right. So my point is, if you love Bailey Zappi, this might be your weekend.
Wait. He's not on the team.
Didn't he get signed to the practice squad again?
Yeah, but I don't know if he's on the depth chart, though.
Is he? No? Let's check to see who the Patriots' backup is. I thought he was back.
Question.
I thought Bailey Zappi was back, but maybe he's not. Well, no, Bailey Zappi is back.
Okay, good.
All right.
Thank God.
So if you like Bailey Zappi, this might be the similar to what happened 22 years ago. Right, when Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe. Mo Lewis of the Jets, mind you. Mo Lewis of the Jets. The Patriots have won 14 straight games against the Jets. The last Jets win in this rivalry, week 16 in 2015. All right, Zach Wilson, so Mac Jones.
Let's get it on. Is it something like where it's like, okay, Sauce Gardner, the entire New England area is looking to you?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Goodness gracious. Yuck, and double yuck for this one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This next one maybe as well.
How about Buffalo against Washington? Washington seriously 2-0? Am I falling asleep on the Commanders? Road win at Denver? Open the season beating Arizona? Okay, but...
Hey, Tony, if you're 2-0 and no one talks about it, did it even happen?
Is it making a sound? Right.
Because literally,
it's not making a sound.
No one is talking about the Commanders being 2-0. I don't even know if they're talking about it in the D.C. area.
I bet if you went to a sports bar outside of D.C., any sports bar, Indianapolis, Chicago, Dallas, and you said, hey, what's Washington's record? I bet you wouldn't find very many people that know it's 2-0. They'd probably like, I don't know, 1-1?
You might find that like maybe even in Arlington.
Yeah.
A bar in Arlington, they may not know.
I had problems with the Bills in week one, not being able to beat the Jets without Aaron Rodgers. They did come back and roll past the Raiders. I'm still a little nervous about them, but
Bills, they should be.
They should be.
You know, the Bills haven't looked quite themselves. I'm on the same page as you. I think there is something going on behind the scenes in the locker room that's not being made public, and maybe eventually we will see it.
That's right. Houston versus Jacksonville. Ooh, ouch, ouch. I am gonna get sick and tired of, because I follow a lot of the company men at Gal Media on Twitter, the local guys who do the ESPN 97.5. I'm kind of getting like, if I get every week about just growth and development, I don't know what I can do with this. I feel like that's what I'm going to just get all year. Like, oh, well, CJ Stroud showed better through his progressions this week. CJ Stroud had better decision making. The defense looked like it got better in week two. I don't know. But Jacksonville, be careful, Jacksonville. Don't play around in games like this.
This should be a rollover game.
This should be. Oh. But don't fall asleep there in Jacksonville. Don't get caught up in the $1 billion that you need for renovations at Everbank Stadium.
All right. You know what? Whenever we mention Houston, I go to looking up who the scheduled announcers are.
Spiro Dietis?
No, it's Chris Myers, because I guess the game's Fox, on Fox.
Fox game, yeah. Fox game.
No, Spiro Dietis is actually, are they changing ways, or is this how bad the game's going to be? He's actually Tennessee-Cleveland.
Not bad. Not a bad assignment.
Or is that really? Or is that?
Well, that's the game I told you that could be a, hey, listen, we won that game against Cleveland, and that helps us in the wild card standings game. Yeah. All right, how about Indianapolis versus Baltimore? Now, Anthony Richardson is out. Is that true? He's had the concussion.
Is he still in the protocol?
I haven't figured it out if he is ruled out for this game. But the Ravens can go to 3-0 with a victory against a Colts team led by a rookie quarterback.
And that's another team that, you know, I think he doesn't play. It feels like they're flying under the radar.
Baltimore's dangerously good.
Oh, I know, but I mean, we're not talking about them.
No one's talking about them. Because they don't have a limping quarterback like Cincinnati does.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's more like, ugh, what's going wrong? Carolina, same thing. Rookie quarterback Bryce Young coming off the Monday night game against Seattle. All right, Seattle did the thing you're supposed to do, right? They lost at home, and then you got to go, well, we got to make up for this with a road win. And they did. So they flipped it. If they had gone one win, one loss, that would have been fine. But they went one loss, one win. It's still 1-1. Seattle hosting a Carolina team. This is when you've got to do not let the ball bounce in a way that allows a rookie quarterback to beat you at home. It's a long flight from Charlotte to Seattle. Make it a longer flight back. That's my thought. How about Chicago versus Kansas City?
Don't bother.
Don't even look at this game. When it's on Red Zone, flip to something else.
I mean,
flip to Hallmark movie of the week.
Yeah, honestly,
just stay away from this.
The entire afternoon slate. I mean, there's some promise with Carolina and Seattle, but right. You know that's not a real page turner. But the entire afternoon slate, you know, take your wife out to lunch.
Okay, here's the deal. This is a reference that's going to go over young people's heads, but. Remember if you grew up in the 80s where maybe some adult or your mother or father or somebody said, don't you be listening to Ozzy Osbourne. The demons are going to get in your head.
Yeah.
Don't watch this game because the putridness of the Bears might seep into everyday life. The next thing you know, you're not dressing. You're not showering right. You're slacking off at your job. You're blaming everybody around you.
Might ruin the NFL for you.
Don't let negative energy float into your Monday workday by watching anything that's associated with this game. Is that good enough?
I think that is a good disclaimer.
That team really does. If I was the owner of the team, I would be like, everybody in a room, we're not leaving until we figure this out. This is a mess. I can't blame it. So you're blaming him. He's blaming you. You're blaming him. This defensive coordinator left for personal reasons. I got too much of a disaster here. What's going on?
I wouldn't even go. Honestly, I mean, if you're a Bears, if you're on the Bears, ugh. Do you even want to make the trip to Kansas City?
Trying to impress so you can get off the Bears roster someday.
Is Mahomes even going to play?
Ugh, it's awful. Awful game. Dallas against Arizona.
Again.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Trevon Diggs is out.
You know what?
Torn ACL in practice.
Just rewind everything we just said and play it again.
And play this one too?
And substitute. Teams, you know, substitute. Anytime we're mentioning the Bears, just put the Cardinals in. Anytime we're mentioning the Chiefs, you put the Cowboys in.
All right. I'm 70-10 has been the Dallas Cowboys in the first two games of the season. But Diggs is out.
He's out.
That is
not going to have any impact in this game whatsoever.
Josh Dobbs isn't going to be able to take advantage of the lackadaisical secondary now.
No advantage in this game whatsoever. But later on in the season, this is huge.
Steelers and Raiders, both teams 1-1. I'm surprised I haven't made a trip to Vegas to see this. I like to see the Steelers on the road. But this Steeler team makes me want to drink.
What's the over-under on 70s montage videos?
Oh, yes. Immaculate reception. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. You're right. Good point.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we're continuing to go over week 3 games in the NFL. We got two because Monday night's giving us yet another doubleheader. The Philadelphia Eagles taking on Tampa Bay. I mean, do I believe in the Buccaneers at 2-0? I do not. I'm sorry. But I'm also looking at the Eagles going, if you're just going to keep playing close games with people, one day a team that is not quite your level is going to beat you.
Yep.
Pretty quickly.
And it could be Baker.
And it could be Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. So that it is. Look, the Eagles are not going 17-0. They're going to lose some games. And they're probably going to lose one or two games to teams that they're like, man, we should have won that game by 25 points. That's the way the league is. But the Eagles have yet to show their full power yet. I mean, they have not played two good games. They're all admitting that. that they haven't played great the first 2 weeks of the season. And the Buccaneers are 2-0 in a three-way tie in the NFC South, which is now the power conference in the NFC.
Exactly. I mean, we said it at the beginning of the season. This conference, this division, is sending three teams.
That's
to
right.
We've been
touting
playoffs.
The NFC South all offseason.
All summer long.
We kept telling you this would happen. The powerful Buccaneers, Saints, and Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Just dominating everybody.
You know, and that the Panthers are, you know, yeah, the Panthers aren't going to do well, but they're only going to make them stronger.
That's right. That is right. But, you know, hey, look, the Eagles, again, if they show up, they should win this game. But let's see if they put together one of those games where you go, all right, that's a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The Niners have been doing it, right? The Niners have been doing it. They look
right
like
now,
a Super Bowl
right
team.
Right now, you know, I mean, we talked about how it's like, you know, the AFC had all the teams.
Right.
And right now, I'm still looking at the NFC going, it's still kind of true because the NFC for me is the NFC championship is Cowboys.
Cowboys 49ers.
Because they're the only ones who've really showed up.
And then the nightcap, well, if you want to call it that, but the game that starts 1 hour after the kickoff of the first game, Cincinnati against the Rams. And everybody's eyes are going to be on Joe Burrow. As Josh Alper said, if you keep hobbling him out there, you could lose him for the season.
Yep.
Eventually, at some point, Jake Browning, I think he brought up, is going to take over at quarterback if he keeps limping around with that calf injury. Jake Browning is the backup quarterback to a Super Bowl team in Cincinnati. That's what we've got now.
Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, he might kidnap Joe Burrow and just say, you sit down and be quiet.
You've got to rest this guy if he's limping around. He cannot do it. You've got to sit him down.
Listen, I know he wants to play.
I get it.
And we love the competitive spirit, but you got to think long term on this one.
You want a Joe Burrow fresh in week 7 where he rips through this league and then gets in the playoffs and goes to Buffalo and wins and goes to Kansas City and wins. That's what you want. That's what you want. So there you go. That's week 3.
And they'll probably win this game because it's a Super Bowl rematch and usually the losing team always wins.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. What was you were going to bring up something for this final segment?
I was because, you know, we talked about it in the good, the bad, the dumb about our boy Andrew Luck showed
Andrew
up.
Andrew Luck, yeah.
And Andrew Luck has embraced, full-on embraced the Captain Andrew Luck character.
I love it.
And since he embraced the Captain Andrew Luck character, and we still don't know whether or not if he is Captain Andrew Luck, right?
Right.
Remember, we've always kind of joked about it. Like, maybe he is the one that writes all the tweets.
Right. No, we don't know. That.
We don't know. But since he did make an appearance and did say that the war is over, Captain Andrew Luck took to Twitter this morning to pen another letter to his dearest mother.
Okay.
Dearest mother, I hope my appearance on the magical moving picture box filled you with joy. As you could see, my resolve has never been more robust. Squirrel oil. I hate that. That's a tough word, man. Squirrel oil and your peppered chipmunk feet have kept me sturdy. Life is splendid. Give the cows my best. I love you. Andrew.
Love it. He's so good.
I really want to believe that this is Andrew Luck.
I do too. I hope it is.
And the fact that he showed up in Civil War garb makes me like him even more now.
Yeah.
Makes me wish he could make a comeback.
I wish he could come back. Does Captain Andrew Luck have something if he's not playing in the NFL?
I don't know.
Can he do something?
Listen, I mean, Captain Andrew Luck, the last message he delivered to his dearest mother before today came May 22nd of this year.
Okay.
And then,
so he's been retired for a while.
Yes. He's only sent out two other tweets this year. Prior to that, he talked about his last tweet was the importance of staying inside during this chaotic time.
Right.
That was March 29th, 2020.
I feel like I need David McCullough to narrate Andrew Luck's career with this music, right?
I think so.
He was a young man from Stanford, tall, quick arm, steady, guaranteed battler on the field. By the time he was 29, it was over. Yeah. It almost has that sort of ring to it. I haven't seen Ken Burns' Civil War documentary in a while, but yet things stick with me.
Yeah, I hear you. He might have made an appearance in there, too. We should do, we should rewatch it to look for Andrew Luck.
Look for Andrew Luck in the photographs?
I think he's in there.
Yeah. That's what Burns likes to do. He likes to take these photographs, and then he has that camera zooming in on a face.
Yeah.
Right?
And then probably making up a name with it.
Yeah.
And a story behind it. Because what are we? I'm not going to check it, are you?
He found, that's the thing, right? I mean, who knows, right?
He had a brother.
Civil War was
seven dogs.
He left his farm with his wife, seven kids, and three dogs to join the Confederate Army. He was dead within 3 days. Yeah.
We're all tragic.
Tragic. Yeah. I mean, seriously, Andrew Luck's career, why hasn't anybody at the NFL Network done this? In all honesty.
Make him into something, right?
Take Ken Burns. Now, Shelby Foote, who was the Southern Civil War narrator, not narrator, but he was the guy they go, he's dead. So he's passed. But you could find somebody where Ken Burns could do an entire Andrew Luck career as the Civil War, Captain Andrew Luck, where you could take everything Andrew Luck had in his career and turn it into a Civil War-ish thing, right? Deflategate, remember? He was the Indianapolis Colts with the team.
Yes, that's right. He was
part of Deflategate. You could twist it and make it so that you got Shelby Foote, a guy who sounds like Shelby Foote or somebody with that same Southern drawl. Going, well, the great thing about that was the Patriots, they had a ball that increased the air was in it, and what made it a little, they lessened the air in the ball and made it a little grippier. See, my guys, they wanted the ball to be less full so they could grip it better. And once Captain Andrew Luck and his unit found out about this, they said it wasn't a factor in the battle, but many people, historians down the line, I've always thought that maybe that did have a factor in that matchup. Because, man, you get a grip of your football, it's much more easier to throw. You could have that. A lot of different things you could do. I think it's brilliant. I think Ken Burns should be on. What else is Ken Burns doing? Is he doing yet another 9-part series on country music?
Did he ever finish the baseball?
Did he? Wasn't he supposed to do another extra innings thing? Wasn't he supposed to continue that?
I thought he was. Thought it was because he, what, the first one, which was long.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought he was going to do each decade, but he didn't.
Nope, he stopped. That was the weird thing. If you watch baseball, the documentary, it's supposed to be 9 innings. I think it was 9 episodes. The first 7 episodes don't even take you to 1940.
Right.
By the time, it's almost he was
hearing...
so excited with all of these stories. We have to include that. We have to include that. We have to include that. We have to include. By the time you get to inning 7, it's we don't have a lot of time about Pete Rose or Mickey Mantle.
Just speed it all
just
up.
Just gloss over all of that. Nolan Ryan. We don't have much time to get into the 69 Mets or the Big Red Machine or any of that stuff in the game 6 in 86. We just gloss through that because we spent too much time on Mordecai Three-Fingered Brown and his upbringing to becoming a baseball superstar in 1894. That was that documentary. He did do a really good one that was, I think was on last year, U.S. and the Holocaust. It was about how the government of the United States and the Holocaust and how they reacted to it.
Yeah.
It's pretty in-depth.
Well, I'm looking at it as far as his upcoming project as a director and producer. It's it's right up his alley, man. It's all about the American Buffalo.
Oh, he's doing the American Buffalo?
Yeah.
That the creature, the one they nearly wiped out in the Western expansion?
I believe the same, yeah.
You think he's going to have Deion Sanders as part of this documentary in some capacity?
Ooh.
Since everyone's jumping on the primetime train right
maybe,
now?
Maybe he does, because now you got your ending.
That's right. Now you got your ending. That's right. That's your ending, yeah.